More than 200 Palestinians detained or imprisoned by Israel were released last week during the truce between Israel and Hamas, among them mostly women and children. They are just some of the thousands of Palestinians held by Israel for a range of both alleged and convicted offenses. Nick Schifrin reports.
This is the day the Al-Salema family had been waiting for. 14-year-old Ahmed Al-Salema is home in East Jerusalem after 3 months of Israeli incarceration, back in the protective embrace and watchful gaze of his father, Nawaf Al-Salema, who told us this moment is bittersweet.
We feel happiness because our child is free, but this happiness is not complete because the price to get freedom for our kids was very expensive, and the price was our people's blood in the Gaza Strip.
Ahmed Al-Salema was one of Israel's youngest prisoners. He was released last week at the same time as his 15-year-old cousins, Mohammed and Mutaz. Of the 240 Palestinians released during the pause in Gaza, nearly half were children.
Did the conditions of your detention change from before October 7th to after October 7th?
Before October 7th, they treated us well. For example, they'd say hello and good night. They were respectful. But after October 7th, they started hitting female prisoners. And they started to reduce the quantity of the food. There were 9 of us in the room, and they gave us 2 meals in small quantities. Before entering the jail, I was 158 pounds, but now I'm 121 pounds.
An Israeli prison spokesperson told the NewsHour, "We are not aware of the claims you described, and all prisoners are detained according to the provisions of the law." Ahmed Al-Salema and his cousins live in East Jerusalem, captured by Israel in 1967. Israeli police first placed them under house arrest in May. In July, they bid their grandmother goodbye when police arrested them for, quote, rock throwing, causing serious bodily injury, damage to property, and hostile terrorist activity. Police say his trial was still ongoing when he was released.
There's no proof at all that I was throwing stones at that time. I never used to leave the house at night. Israeli forces came to the house at 4 a.m. where me and my 12-year-old brother were asleep, and there's proof that they took me from inside my home.
Currently, there are more than 7,600 Palestinians detained in Israeli prisons, so this is an unprecedented number.
Tala Nasser is a lawyer with Palestinian Prisoner Support and human rights organization Adamir. She said since October the 7th, Israel had detained or arrested more than 3,000 Palestinians, including more than 200 children.
The occupation tries to silence the Palestinians, and that happens when the occupation arrests the possible number, the largest possible number of Palestinians.
They are not innocent people, not at all.
Last week, the Israeli government organized a briefing from retired Brigadier General Alon Boreda, a military lawyer and former head of the Israeli Prison Service Intelligence Division.
They made an act of terror. They were captured, they were tried and convicted in court by law. And they were in prison for making an act of terror.
In the occupied West Bank, Israeli soldiers administer justice. Advocates call those military courts unfair.
Palestinians are actually convicted in these courts at a rate exceeding 99%.
And Palestinians in Jerusalem also call Israel's civil courts unfair to Palestinians. Nahaya Sawan was released on the first day of the temporary truce and hugged her niece, Rua Jobran.
My heart was broken when I see her the first time.
Sawan had breast cancer when she was arrested. Her family says in jail she didn't receive any treatment and also became diabetic. Jobran says now she barely recognizes her aunt. Even though she's now surrounded by family, she's struggling with her recovery.
My aunt can't sleep, and she has stopped talking to people. She entered the jail as someone, and she became a different person there. She's someone else now.
Israel denies any prisoner is mistreated.
So in prison, all of the prisoners, not only terrorists, all of the prisoners get medical care.
But advocates say conditions have long been difficult, more so since October the 7th.
We have documented many of the extensive violations, including violent raids by special forces, including firing the tear gas, rubber bullets, live ammunition, and brutally beating prisoners, actually.
An Israeli prison service spokesperson says Nahaya Sawan was convicted for supporting terrorism, serious bodily injury, and illegal carrying of knives and daggers, and was sentenced to 3 years and 8 months. Her family says she was jailed as she prayed at the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
She is a peaceful, nice person who treats others well. Even when she was first arrested, we didn't believe it because she was only trying to defend herself while she was in Al-Aqsa Mosque.
As for Ahmed Al-Salema, he wants to be the shoulder to lean on for his doting mother, and he takes pride in being his father's son.
I want to follow in my dad's footsteps. I want to go back to school and graduate. My father is a driving instructor, and I want to finish school so I can help my dad test the student drivers.
Nawaf, what do you want for your son's future?
I want him to be better than me. I know that he wants to help me and be a driver, but for me, I wish him a better life. I will give him the freedom of choice, but I want him to finish his education. And the most important thing that I want him to be is a good person.
But this week, Nawaf al-Salema posted this video describing how Israeli authorities prohibited released prisoners from returning to high school.
We want to ask, where are we going to take our children after today?
Nawaf al-Salema is hoping the answer to that question is not another round of detention. For him, that is a generational fear.
I spent 1993 and 1994 in the same prison that I took my son and his cousins to on July 30th. I refused to take their mothers because I didn't want anyone to see my emotions and tears.
So how, sir, in your opinion, can this cycle end?
The only way out of the tears and anger and woes is to end the occupation and to return to life before occupation, where we lived in one country as Palestinians, Jews, and Christians. Not the nationalists, but the Jews who know that Muslims welcomed them when they were exiled from countries around the world, when they left Europe because of the Holocaust. And we shared our lands and our lives.
But there's not a lot of hope these days for sharing or more releases now that the fighting in Gaza has resumed. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Nick Schifrin.